Thich Nhat Hanh is a Buddhist monk who was born in Vietnam in 1926 and has been a monk since the age of 16. He was exiled from his country in 1966 for speaking out against the war on a trip to America, where he met with influential leaders of the war and the opposition. Thich Nhat Hanh led the Vietnamese Buddhist peace delegation to the Paris peace talks. Now he lives in a retreat center he founded in France. His book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, has just come out in paperback. While still living in Vietnam, he started a movement called Engaged Buddhism, which combined meditation and anti-war work. Engaged Buddhism came out of his experiences meditating in the monastery while the war went on around him.
Like in a situation where you are sitting in your meditation hall, and if you hear the bombs falling around and the people die and got wounded, and then you cannot just continue to sit there without doing anything to help. So you begin to suffer. And as you continue to suffer, you try to find out a way to continue your practice while you can help the people who suffer. And that is the situation where Engaged Buddhism was born. We try to do things out there, and means to practice out there in the situation of suffering and of war, and yet we could maintain our practice, not losing our practice while being busy helping people. And that is the real setting in which Engaged Buddhism was born.
What were some of the things that you did during wartime in Vietnam to help other people?
We train young monks, young nuns, and young people so that they become social and peace workers, coming to the area where they are victims of war, and to help them to care for the wounded, to rest, to resettle the refugees, and to set up new places for these people to live, to build school for children, to build a health center, to care for the people. We did all sort of things, but the essential is that we did that as practitioners, and not just social workers alone.
You know, the image of mindful breathing and so on is an image of stillness. And in wartime, there's often the need to flee as fast as you possibly can. Were those two things compatible? Were you able to practice stillness and the ability to run for your life when you needed to?
That is a matter of training. The practice is the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness is the energy that helps you to be aware of what is going on. Like when you walk, you can walk mindfully. When you drink, you can drink mindfully. And of course, when you run, you can run mindfully. Running mindfully is quite different from just running. And that is why mindfulness does not mean that you have to slow down. You do things very slowly. The essential is that you are mindful, you are yourself while you do things, whether you do it slowly or quickly. So when you try to help refugees, and if they get lost in their panics and the fear, and if you also get lost in the panic and the fear, you cannot help them a lot. Therefore, you have to be yourself. You have to maintain some kind of calm, solidity in you in order to be a real helper. So that is why the practice is so important while you are a social activist.
So even when you're running for your life, if you practice that kind of mindful running, there is a calm within you, even though you're moving quickly.
Yes. I used to tell people about a boat of refugees crossing to Thailand or to Malaysia. The boat people usually get a storm halfway, things like that. And then if everyone panic, the boat can turn over and everyone can die. But if there is one person sitting on the boat that is calm enough, they can inspire confidence and peace, and then the whole boatload can be saved just because of one person. So that calm, that serenity, that peace that can help you to see clearly and to know what you must do and what you must not do is very important. And to practice mindfulness is to become someone like that for the sake of many people.
During the war in Vietnam, when the Americans were in Vietnam, several Buddhist monks burned themselves in protest. I mean, they set themselves on fire and committed suicide to protest the war. As a Buddhist monk yourself, I'm wondering what you thought of that as a way of calling attention to the war.
Before burning themselves, they had tried other ways, trying to express their desire that the war be stopped, that people sit down negotiating to end the war. But because of the fact that the warring parties did not listen to them, and their sound, their voices are lost in the sounds of bombs and mortars, that is why they had to take that kind of tragic, drastic measure. And some people say that is an act of suicide or despair, but it's not really so, because when you are motivated by the desire to end the war and to help the people to suffer suffering, that is really the energy of compassion that motivates you to do it. And burning oneself alive is just one means in order to make our aspiration understood to the world.
Did you know those monks?
I knew quite a few of them, like the monk Thich Quảng Đức, who was the first who immolated herself. I stayed with him in his monastery for many months, and we knew each other quite well. And I knew that he was a very kind, good-hearted monk. I met him in Nha Trang, and then I met him again in the vicinity of Saigon. They are really dedicated people, and if they sacrifice themselves, that is really for the sake of the well-being of other people.
My guest is Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, who was exiled from his home in Vietnam because he opposed the war. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Thich Nhat Hanh, a Vietnamese Buddhist monk who became internationally known during a 1966 trip to the United States, in which he spoke out against the war and met with influential leaders, including Robert McNamara and Martin Luther King. Your trip to America to protest the American presence in Vietnam resulted in your exile from South Vietnam. Were you actually given an official reason for being exiled?
Well, I did not intend to come and to stay for a long time in the West. In fact, I was invited by Cornell University to deliver a series of talks. And we really took the opportunity to speak about the war, the version that was not heard by people outside of Vietnam, because the Buddhists in Vietnam represent the majority who do not side themselves with any warring parties. And what we wanted really is not a victory, but the end of the war. So what I told people over here at that time did not please any warring party in Vietnam. That is why I was not allowed to go home. And it was very hard for me, because all my friends were there, all my work was there, and I had to stay on. But because I was already practicing as a monk, mindfulness practice told me that you have to live each day of your life properly. So my practice at that time was to realize that the wonders of life were already there in Europe, and why trying to do something to end the war in Vietnam, I could continue my life and getting in touch with this wonderful refreshing and healing inside of me and outside of me. So in the process of working to end the war, I also practiced the nourishing myself, making friends, realizing that life over here is also wonderful, not just in Vietnam, and the dream stopped to come back.
You ended up creating a Buddhist community in France near the Bordeaux region. And I'm wondering what you wanted that community to be like, how you shaped it, what you wanted it to have.
First of all, I did not have the intention to teach Buddhist meditation in the West because what I intended to do in the West is just to plead for an end to the war. But while staying in the West, we need friends in order to help us to do the work, and that is why in the process of working together to end the war, I share the practice with them. So at the office of the Vietnamese Buddhist Peace Delegation to the Paris Peace Talks, we really practice in order to nourish ourselves while we continue to serve the cause of peace. And later on, many people urge us to set up a practice center so that they can get deeper into the practice, and that is why we founded the meditation center in south of France. And now people from many, many countries come every year in the practice.
When you teach mindfulness, you're in part teaching breathing, and breathing is really central to meditation. Why is breathing so important?
In our daily life, very often our body is there, but our mind is not there. Our mind can get lost in the past, in the future, in our worries and anxieties and fear. And we are not really there, alive. Our breath is something like a bridge linking body and mind. And as soon as you go back to your breath and breathing in and out mindfully, you bring your body and mind together. And there you are again, fully alive. And if you are really there, fully alive, you have a chance to touch life in that moment, the wonders of life in that moment. Suppose you want to enjoy the beautiful sunrise. You have to be there in order to enjoy. And breathing in and breathing out mindfully can help you to be truly there. And if you are really there, and the beautiful sunrise will be there also. Because in the practice, we learn that life is available only in the present moment. And if you miss the present moment, you miss your appointment with life.
I know that you run special retreats for refugees and for Vietnam veterans. And I'm wondering if you have a special way of teaching meditation and mindfulness to people who have been traumatized by violence in their life, by either having committed violence or being the victim of violence.
The practice is born from the suffering. You have to understand, to know the nature of the suffering in order to offer the right practice. You know, there was, I remember a war veteran who had committed something atrocious in Vietnam. He saw several friends of his killed in the war. He got very angry. He wanted to retaliate it. He pushed explosive, he mixed explosive in food. He made sandwich and he left it in the entrance of a village. And he hid it himself, and he saw children coming and taking the sandwich and ate them. And a few minutes after that, the children began to cry and to role on earth. And their parents came and tried to bring them to the hospital. And he himself, he knew that nothing can be done in order to help these children. 15 years after he returned to America, he continued to suffer because of that. And he told us later in a retreat that every time he found himself in a room with the children he could not bear, had to run out of the room right away. It was with a lot of patience that we could help him to say these things, to express these things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I said, there is a way. There is a way that that can help you to get out of this. You know that in the past you have killed a number of children, but in the present moment there are things you can do in order to save children. And we proposed to him that children are dying in this very moment, a little bit everywhere. And if he is aware of that, if he is given an opportunity to do something to save the children, and then he will not be caught in that kind of complex and of guilt. And it was that kind of practice that can help people like him to restore joy, the joy of living.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thich Nhat Hanh is a Vietnamese Buddhist monk now living in France. His book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, has just been published in paperback.